Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 45, Victory Road. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me today is my guest co-host, Big Shot, Scott Michella.
Good to be back, Chris. Thanks, man.
Sure thing. I'm glad to have you joining me because we've got some Nintendo stuff to talk about, got some impressions, got some news, and we've got our big topic this week, which is going to be all about remakes and enhanced ports on Nintendo systems. But before we get to that, we'll kick it off with some game impressions. Specifically, let's start with Bravely Second Endlayer, which just came out a couple days ago as we're recording this. That, of course, is the traditional style RPG sequel to Bravely Default. Did you pick this one up?
I have it. Yep. It came in the mail.
Awesome. Very nice.
I took it out of the shrink wrap, and that's as far as I got.
Well, I know the last time you were on, we were talking about playing through the demo.
Yeah, and I didn't finish the demo. Did you? It's a long demo. You did finish the demo.
Yes. I completely wore out the demo. I even did all of the moon rebuilding stuff that you have to do with friends via Street Pass.
Oh, yeah. Impressive.
If you want to do it in any decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. Of course, I never played through the original Bravely Default, which you did, so you have a big leg up on me there.
Yeah, I wouldn't even not that much of a leg up. It's a very hard game. So honestly, if you're just starting this game and you're like, man, this is hard, then you're playing the right game.
Well, the thing is that I did start this up, and it completely spoils the first game. So, if you don't want to be spoiled,
that's funny.
Play the other one first. And, I didn't really mind that much.
Yeah.
Like I said, there were huge spoilers there, and I wish I'd play the other one first, but it doesn't make me want to go back and play it any less.
In fact, who the bad guy is now.
Yes, I do. Whoops. Found out who the bad guy is, found out about some plot twists.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop me from enjoying this. I jumped right in, started playing, started learning some job skills, started going out and buying magic and equipment and all that good traditional Japanese RPG stuff.
Yeah, it's all about combining job skills, this mm-hmm. game. It's a lot of strategy.
Yeah, there's a lot of job skills to acquire. Mm-hmm. And I've just spent, quite a bit of time just running around doing nothing because I can fight and I can learn new skills. I'm like, oh, well, this is fun and useful. So I haven't gotten nearly as far in the game as I should because I'm just running around and earning those job points to, get more skills. Mm-hmm. But still, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, you got a lot farther than you did in the first game.
Yes, this is true. But, the first thing I thought of when I played it, and I'm sure this was what I would have thought if I'd actually played the first Bravely Default, is that this really feels like the natural continuation of Final Fantasy. If you grew up playing the NES and Super NES Final Fantasies, and I guess even the PlayStation 1 Final Fantasies to some extent, this just feels sort of like a natural continuation more than stuff like Final Fantasy 13 or Final Fantasy 15 does.
Yeah, I feel the same way, definitely.
Yeah, it's a real throwback in all the best ways.
Even just navigating the menu system, you get really fast at it, and it reminds you of that time, you mm-hmm. got really fast at navigating the battle menu in Final Fantasy.
Okay, sure. I'll agree with that.
But there's shortcuts too. You got the left and right trigger buttons too.
Yeah, totally.
To
that really
Brave
helps.
And Default, and the mm-hmm. even though it's a turn-based strategy, they say it's a
not
fast
turn-based
pace,
strategy. Turn-based RPG.
Turn-based RPG. Even though it's a turn-based RPG, it moves a lot faster.
Yeah, I like the fact that when you are just grinding, you can speed up the battles. And so I could go through so many battles so fast and make so much progress just from running around for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. It was very convenient. But one thing that's different from classic Final Fantasies is that this is a direct sequel. Like I said, it totally spoils the previous one. It picks up just, I guess it's supposed to be a couple of years after that one concluded. Mm-hmm. And I think two of my party members were major party members in the first game, along with two newcomers to this. And the story's been really fun so far, even in this, just the first couple of hours. There's a lot of cool plot twists I wasn't expecting. After playing the demo, I thought I knew what this was going to be like, but no, they start throwing new changes and wrinkles at you right away. It's also very humorous, despite I guess the core is fairly serious, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah,
and,
the bad guys are bad, but they're never like, you know, you're laughing with them. They're it's fun.
Yeah, it's a little bit goofy, but still not so goofy that you don't want to take the game seriously. It's a little like Ace Attorney in that respect.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm having a lot of fun playing it. It seems, you know, very well polished so far. I was also impressed by the CG intro. I wasn't really expecting that. And, you know, it shows the characters with noses, which was kind of weird, because that's one thing about the character art. They, like, have no feet and no noses. Yeah.
Did you find that the voice, the quality of the voice acting is better, not as scratchy as in the demo?
No, I wish I could say that that was the case.
Oh, really? Are you?
And I remember we thought that when we were playing the demo.
Yeah.
But no, it's still very squishy for a lot of the characters, and many of them still have lisps.
Yeah.
Some of them still sound fine. But the characters that sounded bad before, like Magnolia, she still kind of sounds a little not right now.
And that's unfortunate.
And yeah, I wish that weren't the case. It is not just the demo. But yeah, it's a very, very entertaining game so far. I did pick up the collector's edition, so I got that nice big art book. I haven't flipped through it too much because I don't want to spoil anything for myself more than I already have. But I like the fact that it's full size.
Do you think you'll actually go back and play that first game?
I'd really like to. My backlog is pretty gnarly, but I'd really, really like to. So I'm going to try.
It is a really long game. Just it's worth it. But man, it's one of those where you just... You're lugging it around for a few months.
Yeah, I understand that. And I have a lot of RPGs I like to play. But yeah, I would certainly like to go back and play it if I can. And as for this one, it comes highly recommended from what I've played so far.
Great.
So as for other big Nintendo releases this year, we found out that Metroid Prime Federation Force finally has a release date.
What is it?
It is coming out on August 19th. It has been delayed a bit. It was supposed to be a late spring release, but that is not the case. It's coming out in late summer instead.
Is this one of the games you got to play at E3 last year?
You know, I don't think I did play it at E3. It was there, but I think they only had like the weird soccer mode playable as far as I could see, and so I just didn't bother with that. I didn't really have any interest in it, and there were so many other things to play. So I have not played it personally.
Do you think they're applying the learnings they got from Splatoon to this game, or possibly from the cooperative Zelda game?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think they want it to be its own thing. I think they're fairly committed to making it what they are making it already, and that's, you know, another multiplayer first-person Metroid game. Can't really begin to guess as to why it's going to be taking an extra 3 months, but, you know, given the reception that the game has received so far, it makes sense that any extra time to put on extra polish probably can't hurt.
Yeah, I think server side they should be concentrating on especially.
Well, I hope that they have the audience to need lots of servers. Yeah,
I know it got a cold reception and the hardcore fans really didn't want this Metroid game, but maybe it'll be better than we hope it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always holding out hope that this is going to be solid. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that it fell out of that late spring release window.
Yeah,
you think you're going to pick it up when it comes out?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see what people say about it. I'm not going to day one get that.
Okay.
I just don't want to get burned by a game that I might not play.
Now, what about another game that is coming out much sooner, coming out in just a few days as we record this, Star Fox Zero? Are you going to be picking up that one?
Yes, I'm definitely going to pick up Star Fox Zero, even to just watch someone else play it. I get motion sick from some games that have like perceived motion, but hopefully this one doesn't make me too sick. Even Mario Kart makes me sick, which is really sad. But yeah, I'm gonna pick it up.
Now, what about the sort of you know, preview anime that was released online today? Did you check that out?
I didn't, and I work for an anime company, but I was too busy making videos for them that I didn't have time to sit back and watch. So what was that? Was that only at where did it go up?
I think it was on Nintendo's Twitch channel, and now you can just watch it on YouTube.
Oh, cool. And what was it?
Well, let me tell you, it's very, very furry.
They know their audience.
Lots of furry creatures running around.
Okay.
But mostly it's, you know, the four main guys. Mm-hmm. It's Fox and Falco and Slippy and Peppy. And it's sort of a recreation of the first level in Star Fox Zero, which of course is sort of a recreation of the first level in most of the old Star Fox games as well, which is something we'll touch on when we get to our remakes topic later on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just sort of telling more of that story. It's showing what Fox and company are doing in their ship as they're heading to Corneria. It shows General Pepper, the dog, sort of the leader of the good guys. Apparently he is the target, and apparently he was the guy who defeated Andross back in the day, which I don't think I had realized before, or I had totally forgotten. So it's giving a little more personality to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's very animated, but the animation is kind of weird. Like, everything feels a little twitchy in some ways. Like, why are these characters animating the way they are? I think it's probably mostly CG, not hand-drawn animation, but it looks like hand-drawn in a lot of ways, so it's just kind of odd in that regard. And that's also odd that they seem to have spliced in some game footage as well. There are a couple establishing shots that really look like the Wii U game, and then there's like some parts where it shows the old Super NES Star Fox, and Falco is playing it for no real good reason. But it's a bit weird, kind of funny.
Is this going to be a series, you think, or is this just a one-off?
This is just a one-off. This was just sort of a introduction, a prologue to Star Fox Zero. I mean, it has some potential. Maybe they could do something there. But clearly, this was just meant more as a marketing tool. And there's even like little tips in there. If you're listening to what they're saying, they're like, oh, you know, be sure to, you know, put on your brakes so the bad guys fly past you and you can get them. And it shows Falco being able to do his double lock-ons, which is something you can do if you, you use the Falco amiibo and acquire his ship. Kind of reminds me of the old, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh cartoons, which were terrible, which were nothing but tutorials for the card game.
Yeah.
This was much better than that, I should say. I didn't love it, but not bad. And if you're a fan of Star Fox, you know, it's totally worth checking out.
Cool. I mean, it's free, so it's hard to complain about that.
Yeah, it's free. It's only 15 minutes, so it's not a big commitment either.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you like it, whether you don't, you know, it's certainly worth the time. I will say another weird thing about it. Slippy totally sounds like a girl. I mean, he totally sounds like a girl in the game as well. I assume it's probably the same
voice
actress.
It's probably voiced by a girl.
But it's weird because, you know, like in the first Star Fox game, I seem to remember having sort of a deep voice. But this doesn't even sound like a girl trying to act like a guy. It just sounds straight up like a girl.
In my head, I thought they were trying to just make Slippy as being like a little kid. I don't know. I could be wrong. But
maybe. Could be.
To me, it seems like if they have all these assets and they created this whole episode, it wouldn't be that much work to just do another one.
Yeah, I suppose not.
If they're using CG and making it look like anime, because it's kind of framey, you're right. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, that's the feeling. I don't know. I didn't really think of it as framey. But then again, I'm not really one for frame rate.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, there did seem to be something a bit weird about it to me, the way things are moving. So maybe that is what it was. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But yeah, who knows? They've got that stuff there. Maybe they will make another one. I'm not counting on it. But then again, if they did, I wouldn't really object.
I want to see it in 3D on the video channel that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, moving on from the cute and furry to the violent, bloody, and disgusting, XSEED has announced that Corpse Party is coming out in North America on the Nintendo 3DS system. Now, do you have any familiarity with this series at all?
I don't, but I'm looking at it right now. I mean, this kind of looks like a title that wouldn't make it over here, just because.
Well, it's come out previously in a few forms. Hmm. There was a PSP version, and then there's a PC version that's about to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's getting a boxed retail release on the Nintendo 3DS, as well as a downloadable only release, of course. But yeah, it's this top-down horror adventure game. It kind of looks like, you know, maybe an old-school RPG, but then, you know, it doesn't have any battles or anything. It's mm-hmm. really just about exploration and discovery and then running for your life when some scary-ass dude comes after you. And it's really in the text and the cutscenes where it gets really disturbing and violent. It's really one of the most grotesque games I have ever played, despite how cute it looks from just a quick glance.
Yeah, it looks really just like a cutesy version of a horror thing.
Yeah, it does. But once you play it and get into it, there's some pretty gnarly stuff in there. This game was actually, officially announced last week, but before that, it was leaked by the ESRB, and unsurprisingly, it was leaked as being M4 Mature, which it totally deserves. Mm-hmm. This is not a game for everyone. I think there are some people who would play it and just be, totally grossed out and horrified, and that's kind of the point. But if you are into this kind of stuff, I've thought it was pretty darn good when it appeared on PSP. That's the one I've played. Mm-hmm. So, if you're into that kind of thing, I would suggest looking forward to it.
So how do they handle, because I see there's some consternation about the Japanese language voice recording and that there won't be an English voice recording. Did you play it with the Japanese voices and the English text?
Yes, that's okay. The only way that they have released the game. There is no English voiceovers. Mm-hmm. Since it's set like in a Japanese school, that kind of makes sense to me. Plus, because it is a pretty niche game, I think that doing full voiceovers would probably be cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. I should also point out that this version of the game, Xseed has claimed that this is the best looking version. And This has four new chapters that were not in any previous version of the game. Mm-hmm. So even if you have played the old one like I have, there's still stuff to look forward to in this one.
So the gameplay is RPG or RPG exploration?
Well, I wouldn't really call it an RPG because there are no turn-based battles. It's just sort of this top-down exploration stuff that you're doing.
Kind of like Resident Evil?
I guess in a sense, but Resident Evil is all 3D and cinematic, and this has a very old-school 16-bit feeling to it. So, it's almost like an RPG if an RPG didn't have battles or leveling up or anything, or like a Zelda game if you didn't have any combat. Yeah. I would just call it a 2D top-down adventure, really.
Cool.
Top-down horror adventure.
Are you going to pick this one up?
Scare your pants off.
I think I'm convinced I'm probably going to buy this.
Yeah, I think I am.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to get the special edition, you maniac?
I think that's the only physical edition they're doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is a special edition physical version that comes with, I think, a soundtrack and a couple of figurines and, probably, five buckets of blood. I don't know. Pretty gory, but still pretty cool.
Cool. M-rated games on the 3DS.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Moving on to something that, is maybe a little bit more family-friendly. I'd like to talk about some toys.
I love
video game-related toys.
Oh my gosh, I love toys.
Do you love Mega Man?
I do love Mega Man. I have... Do you remember when I bragged to you about my Mega Man collection and then you're like, ha ha ha. Look at this. I have 1,000 of them.
I'm possibly drawing a blank on that, but how would you feel about adding more Mega Mans to your collection?
It depends. I don't buy them all. If they look goofy, I don't buy them. If they look goofy, I pre-order them. I hate how goofy they look, and then I sell them on eBay. So I did sell that goofy-ass, 25th anniversary statue that Capcom made.
Oh, the silver one?
The silver one and the one that had the light-up base. Mm. I sold both of those. I couldn't stand them anymore. I was just...
Well, those were both pretty expensive, as I recall.
They were expensive, and I lost money on those.
But these new figures, they aren't nearly that expensive. Good. They're fairly pricey because they're Japanese import figures.
Yeah.
But what we've got is a new company I'm not familiar with called Sentinel, and they have 4-inch figures of both the original classic Mega Man and Mega Man.exe from the Battle Network series. They've got lots of articulation. They've got lots of accessories. Mega Man comes with alternate hands as well as the Mega Buster. You can swap out a hand for his Mega Buster.
They look a lot like the D... not to bust in here, but these look a lot like the D-Arts figures that...
Tamashii Nations Bandai. Yeah. I think they were both involved.
Yeah. Did they not... Did they lost the license to these, or is it just another...
I'm not sure exactly how all that licensing works. It seems in Japan, any number of companies can make it. But yeah, they seem to have stopped making that line, which I think is unfortunate because
I thought
that stuff was pretty good.
Yeah, like the original Mega Man, the that D-Arts released under that D-Arts line. It looks awfully like a lot like this Sentinel version, don't you think? You have this.
It looks very similar. Yeah. I mean, they're both very true to the the original character designs, and they're all on model, and they both look pretty great. I think this one looks maybe a little bit more articulated, but I'm not sure which of the two I'll end up liking better. This one looks maybe a little bit larger as well. What was I saying? Oh yeah, it comes with the alternate face plates as well as a stand, and the Mega Man EXE version comes with a Buster gun, of course, his sword, his mask, and also a stand. There was no Mega Man EXE in that previous line we were talking about.
You're right.
So if you're a fan of that series, this seems like an obvious one to get. But as for the other one, it's hard to say. Like you were indicating, there were some really good Mega Man toys recently, so it's kind of like, do I really need to get another one? It's kind of hard to say. You think you're going to pick these up?
Ooh, I think I would probably go for the EXE one just because it looks so different from the ones that Tamashii Nations had released.
Right.
I haven't seen a Mega Man like that yet. So, and I did not play the EXE games. I am a little too old, I think. Didn't have that.
Yeah, even though I'm sounding a little wishy-washy, I'm probably going to get both of these because, it's Mega Man. He's my boy.
Yeah, what about $50 a piece, I think?
I sell them for $40 each on BigBadToyStore.com, which is where I tend to get most of my stuff. So yeah, if you're interested in those, you can check them out there. But then we've also got word that there are going to be Mega Man pop vinyls coming out. So if you like your Mega Man, like, all super deformed and kind of not recognizable and not the right proportions, but they're going to call it Mega Man anyway, you can look forward to those. There's going to be Mega Man, Proto Man, Rush, Dr. Wily, and then some Mega Man variants, including him equipped with the Firestorm and Ice Slasher weapons from Mega Man 1. What do you think about these?
I don't like these pop vinyl toys that much. I like some of the, the other Funko lines, but the pop ones, I'm not a big fan of the look, so this will definitely not be on my list of things to buy. Their big black eyes and their creepy square head, I just don't like them.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. They just, they differ a little too much from the aesthetic I'm used to. I do have, like one or two of them that are kind of okay, but there are so many good choices of things that look on model that I can go with instead that I don't need to buy, every Mega Man collectible out there. I mean, even getting the Nendoroid Mega Man was a little bit of a stretch, but I could justify it because they actually did have a Mega Man that was like that in Mega Man Powered Up. But this, I'm probably going to pass on as well. But I know a lot of people like those. So
yeah, people do. People collect all of them. They're numbered. They're numbered for a reason.
So yeah, if you want to get those, keep your eye out for it. But
and those are relatively inexpensive too. I think they're like $13 or $14.
Yeah. I haven't seen these up for sale anywhere, but I'm sure it'll be in that price range, which is what most of them are. I mean, I thought it was closer to 10 maybe.
Yeah, just get them before they're rare or you'll wind up paying a fortune on eBay.
Another bit of Nintendo merchandise that is coming soon is a newish Zelda manga. It's not really new because it's just a new collected version of some previous release stuff. So it is being called The Legend of Zelda Legendary Edition, published by Viz. And it's compiling some of the earlier manga, which I thought was very good. And it's going to start with the adaptation of Ocarina of Time. It's going to hit November. Have you read any of these? Do you think you might check this one out?
I almost definitely will check these out, especially if they're packaged well and hardcover. Are they going to be hardcover or are they softcover? Do we know?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm a stickler for the hardcover.
I think these are probably going to be softcover, but I'm not positive. But one way or the other, I would say check them out because all of these Legend of Zelda manga that Viz has done have been pretty darn good. There's not really any reason for me to get it because I have all the old volumes, but if you haven't, they are really well done.
Cool.
And just one more little note when it comes to collectibles, that is that GameStop has put up some pre-orders for our favorite news topic, Amiibo. That's right. pre-orders are up for the Kirby line that comes out on June 1st. That's Kirby, King Dedede, Meta Knight, and Waddle Dee. And also the last of the Animal Crossing line that we know of, Isabelle, Winter Isabelle and Summer Isabelle. So like you were saying, you know, don't need to worry about it. Just go out there, place your pre-order. Amiibo aren't quite as crazy and insane to get as they used to be, mm-hmm. especially the Animal Crossing one. But, you know, what the heck?
Yeah.
If you want them, you know, it's an easy way to get mm-hmm. them.
Speaking of Kirby, did you, just because we had it here at work, and I don't know if it's even available for sale yet, but have you seen the Good Smile Kirby, the infinitely posable Nendoroid Kirby? It's ridiculous.
The one that we talked about the last time you were on the show, and I told you it was awesome, and you said, oh, I think I might finally be sold on this?
Yes, I almost I'm going to buy one. I have to. Did you get one?
Yeah, I totally got one. That's what I was raving about it the last time you were on here. It's fantastic.
It is so cool. It is so cool. If anybody's on
it's amazing.
If anybody's on the Kirby train, definitely buy that. It's just...
Even if you're not on the Kirby train. I mean, I'm not like Kirby's biggest fan or anything, but this toy is amazing.
It's probably the best collectible figure I've ever seen of any license. It beats the crap out of my Mega Man, so
yeah, pretty it's pretty cool. Fabulous.
Pretty mm-hmm. cool.
All right, well, let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about our big topic, which is remakes on Nintendo systems. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss our big topic, which is remakes that have appeared on Nintendo systems. Remakes and enhanced ports, to be a little more specific. Nintendo has a long history with putting remakes on its various systems. You know, one of the first remakes I really remember in video games was when they did Super Mario All-Stars back on the Super NES. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, didn't come out, you know, more than a handful of years after those games had been out on the NES, just the previous generation. So I thought, you know, that would be a fun topic to discuss. There's lots of notable remakes out there. But tell me, Scott, what do you think? In general, would you say that remakes like this are a good thing or a bad thing?
I think they're a great thing. They bring new gamers to a title that maybe they wouldn't have overlooked because it's a little older, and to get either the graphics refresh or, you know, make it a little less annoying, like the Zelda remakes, they do tweaks to make the games a little less frustrating for new players. I think mm-hmm. that's a good thing. I like that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I am generally down with it when they do remakes of good video games. Like you said, brings in a new audience. You know, back then, you know, in the olden days, they didn't have Virtual Console. These days, it might be a little bit less necessary. But I always just like seeing things I enjoy sort of having a new coat of paint on them. If I really like a song, you know, I enjoy hearing it remixed or, you know, maybe done by a different performer. And, you know, with a video game, I kind of like seeing it with new content added in or with, you know, enhanced graphics or, you know, a better soundtrack, all that stuff. So usually I'm kind of a sucker for things like that.
Me too. And it's a great chance to replay a game you loved and you get to experience it again.
Yeah, totally.
Instead of playing the old game.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is kind of a question about it. You know, if you are going to go back and play one of these games, should you do the original or should you play the remake? And, you know, I guess it's sort of a case-by-case basis thing. But, yeah, whether you're, you know, just want to revisit one of your favorites or it's something that maybe you just somehow missed the first time around, it does provide ample opportunity, and I think that is totally a good thing.
Yeah, and actually, just want to say that Nintendo really does it right. They do, Nintendo with their first party titles, they do a great job with remakes. There are very few sour notes in there that I can see.
Now, how come it's different than like remaking a movie, would you say?
I think a movie remake, there's way too much creative license taken with a lot, like an older movie. And also, you know, you're not playing a movie. A movie plays out in front of you. You don't really have any control over it. And mm-hmm. if the movie's good, it's good. And remaking it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be better. Like the remake of the Hitchcock movie Psycho, not done that long ago. It was mm-hmm. terrible. You know, it's in color, but what did you get? You got just, you know, not anything more than the original gave you. You got a lot less than the original. Just because it was in color doesn't make it better. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could say that for game remakes. If you just give the graphics a refresh, I don't necessarily know if that's worth your time. If you're
maybe,
really,
but sometimes it is.
Sometimes.
I mean, I guess the problem with movies is that, you know, it really hinges on the acting and on the writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the remakes, you know, don't really necessarily stick to those things, you know, especially the acting, of course. Mm-hmm. Brand new cast and all that, whereas video games, you know, they tend to, you know, keep the core intact, and you know it is enhanced on like a technical level, so it's really hard to mess it up, you know, if you're you know, working with good source material. Mm-hmm. Yep. But speaking of the source material, what would you say are some of the great remakes that you know have worked out really well on Nintendo platforms?
You know, the Nintendo will remake a game, and it's a lot of the time I appreciate it just because I've packed up and or possibly even sold an older console, and now I can't replay that classic. The mm-hmm. Like Wind Waker is a great example. If you hook up a GameCube to a new television, an LCD TV, you're going to be very unhappy with the look of the thing. It's 480p. Mm-hmm. on its best day, 480i on its not best day, and it's doesn't look that great, and you know it's a disc-based system and the disc is scratched and blah blah blah, but yeah, Wind Waker is a beautiful example of a great remake.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny you mentioned that. Yeah. One, because I think that Wind Waker's visual style actually does hold up a lot better mm-hmm. than a lot of games of that era, but yeah, certainly having it accessible on a current modern console is, you know, a great reason on its own mm-hmm. to have it.
And Twilight Princess HD in the same vein. Mm-hmm. That one really looks beautiful on the Wii U. And the aiming mechanic with the gamepad is just great.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it worked pretty darn well with the Wii.
It did.
But it works you know, just as well on the gamepad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty darn polished port, and I like the other things that they have brought to it as well, you know, sort of the streamlining of some of the earlier stuff in the game, mm-hmm. as well as having that flipped world that was in the GameCube one, but, you know, might not have experienced if you only had played the game on Wii. Mm-hmm. Amiibo compatibility, all that good stuff.
Yep.
One of my favorite remakes, though, you know, is a lot older than that. It's something that just came out on Virtual Console not too long ago, and that is Metroid Zero Mission, which was on the Game Boy Advance. Hmm. And to me, that's, you know, one of the most superb examples of a remake. You know, the original Metroid, you know, it was really good at its time, mm-hmm. but you know, there were so many things that you could, you know, improve it with modern technology. You know, there was no in-game map, for example. Mm-hmm. So they added, you know, something that was really simple like that. They enhanced the graphics significantly, but they also added just a whole bunch of new content. You know, they put in new moves that Samus couldn't do back in the day. They put in, you know, new shortcuts, new areas, new bosses. The existing boss fights were, you know, improved and made different, but they still kept the overall structure the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you were still sort of going on the same path and the same mission that you did years ago, so you could recognize all this stuff. Like, oh yeah, I remember doing that. That was so cool. And then, of course, there's that whole additional segment add on to the end. So when you think that you are finishing the game, you're like, okay, this is it. This is how it concludes. Like, nope, there's a whole lot more going on here.
I didn't realize Zero Mission was a remake of the original Metroid. I've never
played
it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, it is one of the best. I mean, I think it's one of the best GBA games, period. It's also one of the best remakes, period. So yeah, that is on Wii U, so I certainly recommend you check that out.
I will. That's great.
I should go back to that game. I got almost to the end, and then I stopped for some reason because I have, you know, like 80 other games I'm trying to play.
Yeah, I downloaded Metroid, the original, on the 3DS when it hit Virtual Console, and I played it through and finished it.
Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive.
A long, long session. With, and I must admit, with, I cheated, you know, I had like GameFAQs open and a map.
Well, still, you know it pretty well, so I think you'll totally enjoy going back to Metroid Zero Mission and diving in and seeing how they modernized it, because, yeah, they did that, you know, very, very well, I would say.
Yeah.
Another series that has gotten the remake treatment quite a bit is Star Fox. And I kind of was alluding to it earlier, but it's really strange how they just sort of keep remaking that first game over and over. Like, Star Fox 64 was kind of the same storyline as the original Star Fox. And then they took that and they made Star Fox 64 3D. And, you know, obviously that was, you know, an enhanced port, so you would expect it to be the same there. But then they went ahead and now we've got Star Fox Zero, which is just about to come out. Mm-hmm. And even though they're claiming it's not a remake, from a story perspective, it is a remake. You know, you start off going to the same, you know, level with things that are, you know, very, very familiar to anyone who's played those older games. And, you know, it's got the same storyline. Oh, you know, I'm Fox McCloud. I put together this team here to, you know, live up to my father's legacy because he mysteriously died. We don't know what's happening to him, and we're going to take the fight to Andross. And I don't know why they're so hesitant to move on in the Star Fox story and just sort of, you know, continue to rehash. That's not saying the games are bad or anything. Obviously, you know, Star Fox 64 is beloved, and the 3D version, you could argue, is even better. Well, the reviews have just started to come out on Star Fox Zero. It's sort of getting a mixed bag in the reviews so far.
I haven't been looking at them.
Some people like it. Some people love it. Some people don't. We'll talk about that one more next week, I suppose. I mean, it's sort of a remake or a reimagining in the most literal sense, where it's like, yep, we're just sort of going to recreate a lot of this from the ground up, but you know, keep these core components in place.
Yeah. I think, now to bring up a real big negative of a remake, I think the core fan base really doesn't like that Nintendo will spend a time making a remake when they could be giving us a brand new game. And so you know, Nintendo will have this announcement, and then we find out we're getting a game we already had, and we all wanted the new Zelda, and we're just getting like an HD remake of an old game. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess it is something to consider, but you know, Nintendo, I think, handles it fairly smartly. They don't put their core teams on the remakes. They usually outsource it to a, you know, very, very competent studio. That's how they did the recent Zeldas. It's also how they did the 3DS Zeldas. You know, those were some other phenomenal remakes. Ocarina of Time 3D and Majora's Mask 3D, where, you know, not only did they manage to make them look way, way, way better on handheld than they ever did on N64, add 3D graphics, you know, make the games, you know, a little you know, less frustrating in some ways, things that they were able to tweak over the years. But then it didn't detract from, you know, whatever else Nintendo was trying to do, because, you know, they have you know, set up their workforce, so that's not going to be an issue. And then sometimes, you know, the game is just, you know, so good that you probably wouldn't mind anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to waste money on a game that they don't think people are going to buy. I mean,
another one that I was really happy to see several years back was Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon. Did you get to play that one at all?
Never did.
Yeah, I didn't get to play it as much as I would have liked, but the cool thing about it was that that was a remake of the original Fire Emblem that never came out in North America. So, you know, people were sort of introduced to this character Marth via Smash Brothers. And it's like, well, you know, we don't really know who this guy is. Well, here you go. Here's the game that he debuted in remade on a current system. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing to do, and it was a great title to remake. Also, all the stuff they've done with Pokemon, I think, has been very favorable and worked out very well with Fire Red, Leaf Green, mm-hmm. Heart Gold, Soul Silver,
yep.
And all those. Just polishing those up, getting them out there. And, that really, feeds into the nostalgia with Pokemon, being able to, play these games again, and maybe you're a lapsed Pokemon fan. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll play this new and improved version of this one I really liked. Or, for the new audiences, it's also, gets to them.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other remakes that stand out to you?
I really, this is silly, but I really did enjoy the DuckTales remake. I thought they did a great job with it.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was one that I did not actually write down on my list. But, yeah, that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So many just... The fact that the music was wonderful, and they kept mm-hmm. the 8-bit music in there for the fans, and and the it's just gorgeous. It's like you're playing the cartoon.
The sprites are gorgeous. I actually don't. I'm not in love with the backgrounds mm-hmm. in that game. But that's really my only complaint about it. Everything else I thought was really well done. They totally redid some good chunks of the levels, the Africa level in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the other stuff they left intact. So yeah, I think it was a really good balance of bringing it up to modern speed and keeping a lot of the good stuff that worked before. So yeah, that is a superb example. Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned that one. But speaking of other third-party remakes, Resident Evil, the remake on GameCube,
mm-hmm.
that one was totally nuts.
I never played it. And that's the one with the fixed cameras, right? Yeah, I could conceivably play it tomorrow. I'll have to buy it somewhere.
But man, I think they've actually remade it on some other consoles
mm-hmm.
more recently.
I have a GameCube, darn it, I want to use it.
But yes, it was originally out on GameCube, and they took that original PlayStation and Saturn and whatever else it was on mm-hmm. version, and boy, they just really improved the heck out of it. On the GameCube, add some scary-ass new zombies and things. I've actually kind of forgotten most of it, but I do remember that it was, a really fantastic game, and one where they really went all out, and it's not like, this is just some, higher-resolution version. This is really, really worthy of your time and your attention, and there's lots of, good content in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, totally check it out.
I will check it out. I have component cables for my GameCube. Do you? You do. You must. No. Maybe you don't.
Do you have component
cables? They're expensive.
I don't remember.
They're expensive. They're like $200. I found some at work in a box that was labeled recycling, and I saved
them. Oh, my gosh.
Let me know if you want a pair. I have an extra set.
I will consider this. Yes. Yes, I will.
You're going to need a GameCube that has the right port on the back. There's a model.
Well, as long as that was in the launch models, then I'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as it was a launch model, it'd be fine. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Another fantastic remake, the DS adaptation of Chrono Trigger, one of my all-time favorite RPGs. And somehow they managed to make it even better mm-hmm. when it came out on DS. What was it, like a decade later, more than a decade later? 15 years later, maybe? But they put in lots of new content, lots of new areas. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not sure if I like the translation of that version better.
Mm-hmm.
There was some really charming elements in the original that have always stuck with me, like the way that Frog would talk in sort of his old English. And I don't believe that was there in the remake.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it is like the definitive version of the game, all the cutscenes, all the extra stuff, and somehow making one of my favorite games even better on the Nintendo DS.
Cool, and that's one you can still pick up. I think it's on Amazon for pretty cheap, like $20.
Probably, it seems like that one has been sitting around for a long time at fairly affordable prices.
Yeah.
So
it's not. It's. I don't think it's worth the $250 you're going to spend to get the SNES version.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
I think that's in the box, maybe. but it's still super expensive. It's at least $100 for the cart.
But heck, if they put the DS version of Chrono Trigger out on Virtual Console in, you know, some form or another, I would totally buy it again, just because.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I'd do the same with the Super NES version.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, loving that DS version. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, are there any remakes that you think haven't quite been up to snuff? I will tell you the one time
that
Nintendo flubbed it, and that was Super Mario 64 DS.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense, because there was no analog stick.
There was no analog stick, and you were supposed to put this weird strap on your thumb and use the touch screen to do it that way.
That's
and
goofy, yeah.
Not only is it goofy, but it really didn't work very well. So that was just kind of a mess. I mean, if you could, you know, work around that, you know, obviously it's still Mario 64 at its core, and it did have new content, had different playable characters, had new mini games. But yeah, that one fatal problem of putting, you know, the game that gave us analog control, more or less, on a non-analog control system, yeah, that was kind of a big misstep.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree.
And then the other ones that come to mind were third-party releases, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess you could say with Okami that really, you know, wasn't a remake. It was more or less just a port from the PlayStation 2 over to the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
But it really seemed like it should have been one of these, you know, really promising, you know, enhanced ports, because, you know, the whole premise of the game is you have this magic brush that you can draw stuff with. And so it's come to Wii. It's like, okay, well, I have the Wii remote pointer, and I can, you know, basically draw stuff on the screen with this. It's like a match made in heaven. That's how I thought of it anyway, and it made total sense. And I'm like, this is going to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, really into trying to promote the crap out of it, Nintendo Power. And then it came out, and the brush mechanic was like kind of broken with the Wii controller.
Mm.
So like the whole reason for this thing existing kind of wasn't there. Did you ever, you know, have you played that game at all?
No,
in any form?
I didn't play it. I saw it be played in a game capture lab, and it looked awesome, but no, I never played it.
It's a really, you know, great game at its core. You know, it's Zelda, but with this, you know, wolf character and this awesome art style. But yeah, unfortunately, the Wii version was just not the way to play it. And, you know, there's nothing worse than when you play a game that you really loved and you're like, oh, someone made this game worse.
Mm-hmm. Did that make its way to PS3 or was it only PS2?
There was an HD remake on PS3, I believe. So yeah, there are other ways to get your hands on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should totally check it out. I don't think I ended up reviewing that badly in Nintendo Power. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we gave it like a 7 or something. But man, the developer got so upset. They refused to talk to me about anything else after that game review came out. And, you know, it's not like I tore it apart, but I did say, yep, these guys made this awesome game worse.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And they didn't like that. Another game that I feel got worse when they remade it, and I don't know, maybe this is a controversial choice, was Metal Gear Solid The Twin Snakes.
You'll have to tell me all about it. I never played it.
Well, have you played Metal Gear Solid at least?
No.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's this guy.
You know I get motion sick playing Solid video Snake. Games, Chris Hoffman.
Well, Metal Gear Solid is one of the all-time greats. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a, you know, PS1 game, not a Nintendo game, I thought it was amazing. You know, it's, geez, you have to play that game because
I can play
it's
that
like
one. It's
one
got
of
fixed,
the,
a fixed camera too.
Yeah, yeah.
And pre-rendered.
I think it's one of the most. I think they're all polygonal, not pre-rendered.
Okay.
But yeah, it's an overhead view, so it plays very old school.
Okay, I can play that.
But yeah, I mean, it's like one of the most important games.
That's
to
Snake in a
come
box,
out,
right? Aren't they all Snake in a box?
Well, yes, they are. But yeah, playing as Solid Snake, you are, you know, fighting this great cast of villains. Mm-hmm. You're you know, choking guys out, and you're snapping necks, and you know, ultimately you have to, you know, fight cyborg ninjas and show down against the giant Metal Gear mech.
Mm-hmm. So the Twin Snakes is a remake of that original game?
It is a remake of that game. I mean, I wouldn't say the original game, because the original game, Metal Gear on the NES, was something different. Don't confuse it with that.
And it was also on the MSX.
Yes. So, yeah.
And arguably that was the best version of that game is on the MSX. But
yes, yeah, certainly that is what the creator, Hideo Kojima, says. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about remakes. Yeah, he's really down on the NES version.
Yes, definitely.
You know, for all of us here in the U.S., that was, you know, the original.
Yeah, that's all we could play.
We got excited about.
Yep.
And so it seemed pretty good to us.
Yep.
But, you know, the end boss is supposed to be the big old Metal Gear mech, just like it is in Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. But in the NES version, it's like, oh, yeah, we couldn't do that. It was technologically impossible. So you, like, destroy a computer and that's it. And that's why he hates that one. But, yeah, so they remade this PlayStation 1 game on the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, it's a very, very good game. You know, they enhanced the graphics. They made it even more cinematic. And, you know, this is a game that was already, you know, making new strides in cinematic presentation. That's why I say it's one of the most important games of, you know, the last, you know, couple decades. Because how it really, you know, brought out that, you know, Hollywood style showmanship in like the best possible way. Mm-hmm. But you know, then when it came to GameCube and they brought in Silicon Knights as developer, there were just a few things that didn't work out that well, in my opinion. Now, they add in new gameplay elements, and I thought all that stuff was pretty good, but they re-recorded the voices, and those I thought were a big step down. A lot of characters had accents the first time out, and I thought that gave them a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just, you know, made them sound a lot more generic for this remake for I have no idea what reason. And I think you know, Snake sounded a little more growly. Like, I thought he was pretty much perfect in the original Metal Gear Solid, but it seemed like every game he would just start to snarl a little bit more and more and become a bit more of a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was, you know, fairly prominent in the Twin Snakes. So that was something that, yeah, I think they could have toned down and made it better. But the big thing for me is that it got really goofy. And that's not to say that Metal Gear Solid isn't goofy. That series, it's always got a nice level of goofiness.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
But usually it's balanced by a lot of realism. And the thing that I really love about that series as a whole is that you can believe a lot of stuff that's going on, especially Metal Gear Solid, where they're like, you know, blurring real things that are happening out there in the world with, you know, this fantasy of this Foxhound group and this Metal Gear mech. Even though there is goofy stuff, it feels believable. But then they, like, cranked up the goofy factor to, like, you know, 14 on a scale from 1 to 10 in this remake. And the thing that stands out to me the most is this one cutscene. And this is all pretty much in cutscenes where it happens, because they brought in, you know, some new guy to redo many of the cutscenes, and they all just became, you know, ridiculous and over the top. And it's like, okay, we know that, you know, Snake is supposed to be, you know, pretty badass, but this, you know, just goes over the line for the suspension of disbelief. And the one that stands out to me is this one where someone shoots a missile at him and he, like, jumps onto the missile and then, you know, jumps off of it. And it's like, no, I can buy everything else. I can buy that these guys are clones of each other and of Big Boss, but suddenly, you know, jumping off this missile, nope, too over the top for me.
That sounds pretty awesome to me, but, you know, everything was bigger in the 90s, so.
Now, this was 2000 and something. Yeah, 2003 or 2004, mm-hmm. I think, is when it came out. And again, it doesn't make it horrible, but I felt like it did make it worse than the original. And that, you know, is always a sad thing.
Well, digging out the GameCube is a lot easier than digging out the PS1, I'll tell you that.
I suppose so. But, you know, a lot of those have been released as classics if you happen to have a PS3.
Oh, well, I do.
So that would be a great way to play that
one. All right, I take it back. I'm just an old man who likes his, I like my, what do you call it? My physical media.
Well, I think the PS3 is backwards compatible with PS1 discs, so you can play it that way. But heck, this is not a PlayStation cast, so that doesn't need to be my area of expertise, nor yours. But I do want to move on to another type of Nintendo remake, and that is the new Play Control series that was out on Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play any of those? Did you get any of those?
No,
I didn't.
What
were your thoughts on that overall?
No, it missed me entirely. I missed it entirely. I didn't even know this was a thing. Is this in the waning days of the Wii?
I guess you could kind of say that. I mean, the Wii was around long after it should have been replaced, mm-hmm. so it had a lot of waning days, I suppose. But yeah, I think it was sort of a fairly easy way for them to flesh out their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought back Pikmin with new Play Control. They brought back Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, I believe. And that was one that was really interesting because that was a very traditional-looking game
mm-hmm.
on GameCube, but you played it with bongos.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, okay, I want to just, you know, move Donkey Kong like a platformer. It's like, no. You play this by banging on your bongos. So it's like, what? Okay. That actually worked, you know, fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
But then they bring it to Wii. It's funny because, you know, with Wii, you'd expect, oh, new Play Control. It means pointer and waggle. But in this case, it actually meant more traditional controls than the original version had. So that was kind of funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
No. It was actually a good thing.
All right. You're talking to a guy that has two Donkey Kong bongos in his closet. So.
Well, a great man once told me that we will succeed by bongos. So.
I forget who it was, but a wise man told me that's the best game on the GameCube, and I can almost agree. It's really good, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
But the thing about these new Play Control games,
mm-hmm.
I just felt like they really missed the boat with what they should have done. And, you know, I don't know if you agree. Like, if they had done more of those, which games should they have done?
I think Paper Mario might have been interesting. I don't know what they could have done. Maybe
Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, maybe Uncover Secrets with a little sprite that you move the Wiimote with.
Maybe. But the correct answer to this question.
Okay, what is the correct answer to this question?
Well, Luigi's Mansion, first of all.
Oh gosh!
And I know I've talked about that on the
answer.
Podcast before that they totally should have done Luigi's Mansion because
what a wasted
that's what
opportunity!
Doing. You know, you just point and do the vacuuming that way.
Yeah.
You know, you move Luigi around with your nunchuck.
Yeah.
You point with the mm-hmm. the remote, and you suck up them ghosts.
I agree. Yeah. Why don't we have a Wii U version of that game?
And then Super Mario Sunshine, where he's got his squirting water pack. And you know you're again doing the platformer, the platforming like usual with the nunchuck and analog stick.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes time to point and use that the flood, you know it would make so much sense to do it with the Wii Remote pointer. And I guess you know they could kind of if they wanted to bring either of those concepts back on Wii U or maybe even possibly NX if it has a second screen controller. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, man, those are so obvious to do, and they just didn't do them. It was totally a missed opportunity, in my opinion.
I agree, and I didn't even think of those things that you said that were true. But damn, Luigi's Mansion. When are we going to get another Luigi's Mansion game?
Well, there are rumors that another one could be in the works for NX. I have no reason to believe those rumors at this point, but I have no reason to disbelieve them either. So,
I want to believe them until I don't believe them. But man, that would be great. Ugh. I love that 3DS game. Really did.
Now, putting aside new Play Control stuff,
mm-hmm.
if you could just get any sorts of remakes mm-hmm. on Nintendo systems, what would be your top picks?
That's a good one.
And how would it be done?
Okay, so this might sound crazy. All right. Hear me out.
Sure, let's hear it.
Mario Paint. Why the hell don't we have a kick-ass Mario Paint on the Wii U?
Well, Mario Paint, I could certainly see it making a comeback in some form or another. I don't know if a remake is what I'd want to see, but I could totally see him doing a sequel. Yeah, it does seem like something that they could explore more. And Nintendo has done more art stuff with their Art Academy games.
Yeah. I feel like the play that the Super Mario Maker kind of brought us is what made Mario Paint so wonderful. Just the infinite possibilities. If you spent enough time in it, you could make anything. That's how I felt with Mario Paint. To have a modern version of it on the Wii U, I'm not quite sure what that would be. But man, that would be fun.
Anything else?
I want to say ActRaiser, but again, I can't think of a way to make ActRaiser live in the modern era and not feel like another platformer that's just pretty.
I don't know. I mean, I'd be down with that. I mean, I love ActRaiser. ActRaiser is a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. And I think if they just, enhance the graphics to HD level, maybe add in a couple of new levels, I would be, so all over that.
All right.
Or maybe, I remember this was actually a rumor back in the day that I think this was supposed to be like on Sega Saturn. They were going to take ActRaiser 1 and ActRaiser 2 and combine them into a new game called Act Remix. And, ActRaiser 2, I thought was a big step down from ActRaiser 1.
Yeah.
But if they, sort of remade those levels in ActRaiser 1 style and put back the simulation, god type levels within the ActRaiser 2 stages and made that into a new game, yeah, that would really work, I think. That's something that I think could be really cool if they were to dust off that very, very old idea and try to actually make that happen. Yeah, I would love that personally.
All right, let's make it happen. Kickstarter or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure even owns the rights to that anymore. Does Enix own it? Owns Quintet? I'm not sure. But yeah, that would be excellent. Heck, I'd be happy to see that on Wii U or 3DS Virtual Console.
Yeah, I would too. There's so many games I want to see on the Virtual Console.
But as for other remakes I would like to see now, first of all, Mega Man, of course. I'm surprised you didn't say Mega Man, being such a big Mega fan. Mega Man,
but because we did have so many Mega Man games, and I feel like Mighty Number 9 could be that for me.
See if it ever comes out.
Yeah, if it ever comes out. So maybe.
But the fact is, there actually was a remake of the original Mega Man back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Sega Genesis.
I remember that.
And it was basically the same thing that Nintendo did with Super Mario All-Stars, where they just took their original 8-bit games, they brought up the graphics to 16-bit levels, and made it look super pretty and sound even better, and basically play the same, and it made it really, really good. Of course, Capcom also went and added in like 4 brand new levels that tied Mega Man 1 through 3 altogether. So I would be happy if they just finally released that stinking game in a way you could purchase in North America. I'd be totally down with that. Or if they just did a totally modern remake with current level 2D HD graphics of Mega Man 1, Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, and just I don't know, it'll probably be polygonal, but bring it up to modern spec and make it look cool and play the same. I would be all over that. I guess I've still got plenty of Mega Man to play with the Legacy Collection, but I would like to see it with a shiny new coat of paint for sure. And then the other one is The Legend of Zelda.
The original.
Kind of. I mean, if I could only pick one, it would be Zelda 2.
Okay. Zelda 2. Because because
Zelda 2, it was like, so different. And I'd like to see them just take that basic framework, that world, and redesign it in total modern 3D. This wouldn't be, your 2D side-scrolling, jumping over a pit Zelda 2 game that we first got.
Yeah.
It would, completely reinvent it in 3D, using the, same 3D world exploration that we're used to with, Twilight Princess and, all those other more recent games. But give us the same basic story, the same basic world layout, you know, the same places you'd visit with all the different towns and the different palaces, and just totally redo it, just using that as a basic framework, but, you know, rebuild it completely from the ground up as a modern 3D adventure. If I could only pick one Zelda game, that's how I would do it.
Wow.
But alternately, I would just kind of like to see them do a, you know, Zelda remake in the vein of Super Mario All-Stars. I mean, after they did Mario All-Stars, I thought that was going to be the beginning of a whole bunch of remakes of Nintendo franchises. I thought they were going to do a Zelda All-Stars, mm-hmm. I thought they were going to do a Metroid All-Stars, but they never ended up doing that. They, you know, even though that's, you know, what sort of, you know, was the genesis of, you know, 2D remakes, they didn't really do a whole lot right then at the beginning.
Yeah, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think the Super Mario All-Stars game holds up as well as the original games do.
Hmm.
I mean, if you ask me to play if you say, let's play Super Mario Brothers, the original, I'm not going to load up the Super Mario All-Stars version just because it's got, like, a bit of a graphics bump. You heathen, get out of here.
I'm not sure. It's weird that they never re-released the original enhanced All-Stars version of Super Mario All-Stars in any other way. You know, it was on the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. It was on, you know, that direct ROM dump that came out on Wii. But yep. Whereas Mario 2 and Mario 3, you know, got ported over to Game Boy Advance, you know, Mario 1 and Lost Levels just, you know, stayed as All-Stars, and they didn't get the advanced treatment, which I always thought was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And thought they could have put those two on one GBA cartridge and released it, and then I totally would have been a sucker and bought it mm-hmm. again. But back to Zelda, yeah, I just want to see them take those old games and give them a fresh coat of paint. You know, the old original Zelda, you know, it could use some graphical tweaking, and it probably wouldn't be that hard or time consuming to do so. And it would just be, I think, a really fun way to re-experience that game, especially if they were to do that this year, here in the 30th anniversary. I think if they were to do either of those, you know, the complete from the ground up Zelda 2 remake, or a classics compilation mm-hmm. where they prettied up the old NES games, as well as maybe Link's Awakening from the Game Boy. They prettied that up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Be really cool if they took all those and just you know, made them all prettier, kept the gameplay intact, and just made a new way to experience those. I think that would be a lot of fun. I should mention a complete overhauled, you know, from the ground up version of the original Zelda would be awesome too, you know, done in 3D but with the same basic overworld, the same, you know, basic placement of your dungeons, mm-hmm. you know, the same bosses, I suppose. That'd be really cool. But I think there's a lot they could do with those original two Zelda games.
Yeah.
Well, unless you've got anything else to add, I think that we have, you know, said all we can say about remakes on Nintendo systems.
I think you're right.
So I guess that pretty much makes it a show. But we also still have time for a dramatic reading.
Oh boy.
And yes, if you were waiting for the exciting continuation of the Metroid saga, you are in luck, because this time it is part two from the manual of the NES version of Metroid. If Metroid is multiplied by the space pirates and then used as a weapon, the entire galactic civilization will be destroyed. After a desperate search, the Federation police have at last found the pirates' headquarters, the fortress planet Zebes, and launched a general attack. But the pirates' resistance is strong, and the police have been unable to take the planet. Meanwhile, in a room hidden deep within the center of the fortress, the preparations for multiplying the Metroid are progressing steadily. As a last resort, the Federation police have decided on this strategy: to send a space hunter to penetrate the center of the fortress and destroy the mother brain. The space hunter chosen for this mission is Samus Aran. he is the greatest of all the space hunters and has successfully completed numerous missions that everybody thought were absolutely impossible. He is a cyborg. His entire body has been surgically strengthened with robotics, giving him superpowers. Even the space pirates fear his spacesuit, which can absorb any enemy's power. But his true form is shrouded in mystery. The planet Zebes is a natural fortress. Its sides are covered with a special kind of stone, and its interior is a complicated maze. On top of that, the pirates have planted devices and booby traps in the maze, and the pirates' eerie followers lie in wait around every corner. Samus has now succeeded in penetrating Zebes. But time is running out. Will he be able to destroy the Metroid and save the galaxy?
That
Samus guy, he's pretty manly, pretty masculine. Sounds like a...
Yes, I know they're trying to throw you off the scent. They didn't hire a rube to write
Maybe,
that
I don't know.
Scent,
it's possible right? that they just didn't
they
know.
They just hired a nincompoop who doesn't know?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe.
Some ninny?
Could be.
Well, that just pissed me off.
Anyway, that does it for this week's episode of Power Pros. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at Power Pros Pod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com for any reason, and if you like the podcast, it would be fantastic if you'd leave us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Big Shot Scott Michella.
Yo-ho!
And our good buddy Shulk.
I'm really feeling it!
We will see you next time.